Hewlett-Packard says it's not finished with PCs just yet.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. HP is keeping its $40 billion personal computer business just 2 months after proposing a separation of the PC division from the rest of the company. The 180 came yesterday from HP's new leader, Meg Whitman, who used to run eBay. For more on what this means for HP and for PCs in general, let's bring in Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe, who is with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, John, I feel like every time we talk, we're talking about a company that has decided to do just the opposite of what they just said they were going to do. Why this reversal for HP?
Money. It was going to cost a lot of money to spin off the PC unit. You got to have real estate. You got to have operations. You're starting a whole new company that is already very, very active. And because it is active in the PC market, HP buys a lot of components like semiconductors. And right now it can get a good price on those because it buys so many for PCs, and that helps on all the things HP really wants to build, like servers and things that businesses have. It's a more predictable business, that kind of stuff, and it's not so fashion-oriented, but the PC still needs to be a pawn in that game.
But does the PC really have a future? It seems like all the movement these days is toward tablets and mobile devices.
Well, there's a future for personal computers. Whether that means an HP PC remains to be seen. But HP has also moved a lot towards cloud computing, and that's where a lot of consumers are moving to, using your computer as a portal while everything else is processed somewhere else. So HP has built up a lot of muscle in the cloud. If it can come up with a new kind of PC that connects well and works well, that might be a real opportunity for them.
Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe. John, thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, now to Beijing, which, as it turns out, is the new center of the European debt crisis. The head of the Euro bailout fund is there today asking for money to boost the size of the fund by tens of billions of dollars. Here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The Europeans plan to boost the firepower of their bailout fund to $1.4 trillion. European governments cannot afford or do not want to put up the extra cash themselves, so they're asking China to make an investment. The Chinese have the biggest foreign currency reserves in the world, and they've already put 6 billion euros into the bailout fund. But China expert Kerry Brown from the Chatham House think tank says a request for a much bigger sum might raise a few eyebrows in China.
You've got a kind of eurozone where the per capita GDP is at least seven times what it is in China. And yet they're being asked to come and bail out, you know, Europe. And it's a perception issue. You know, it's the sort of idea that they are having to help out rich countries remain rich.
But he believes the Chinese may be ready to help their biggest export market, the eurozone, and they do want to diversify away from their huge US dollar holdings. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading right now, up 1.3% in Tokyo, but down a fraction of a percent in London and in Paris. Here in this country, we got earnings this morning from appliance maker Whirlpool, which says it will lay off 5,000 employees because of softening demand for washing machines and refrigerators. No chill on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow surged 339 points, about 2.8%, to close at 12,208.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
This weekend, clocks in Europe will fall back. It'll be another week for us here in the U.S., but in Russia, there will be no time change. Last March, the country moved to summertime, as it has for the past 30 years, but it's not going back. From Moscow, here's Peter Van Dyke.
Moscow's long winter is only just starting, but the sun has been up less than 4 hours as the Kremlin clock strikes midday. By the end of the year, it will be 10 o'clock before Muscovites see the sun. That's because this year, Russia will not fall back to wintertime. The final part of President Dmitry Medvedev's time reforms puts Russia forever on summer time. The stress of changing the clocks forward and back is bad for our bodies, Medvedev says. And that's not to mention the poor cows, he jokes, who don't know when they are going to get milked. If the cows are confused, they can blame the farmers. Andrei Panin is a geography professor at Moscow State University. He says when the world's time zones were agreed on in 1884, they were designed for life on the farm. He says that these days, permanent summertime matches most Russians' daily schedule.
About half of territory of Russia and about two-thirds or three-quarters of population will live now through the whole year between 1 to 2 hours ahead of solar time, which fits well, from my point, to the lifestyle of an industrial society.
But being an hour further ahead of the US and Europe might not be so good for business. Kirill Yankovsky is an equities trader at UniCredit Bank in London. He says it creates problems for Russia's stock market.
I think it's not only separate, but it just gives an extra reason for people to focus on London.
Worse, Yankovsky says, Russian trading will be even further out of step with New York. Right now, there's a 1.5 hour overlap, but an hour of that will be lost when New York switches to wintertime. There's a danger that Medvedev moving Russia out of sync with the West could leave Russian traders and markets in the dark. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally to Sicily, and a story that seems just too weird to be true, but you decide. Police issued a $44,000 ticket for an illegally parked car. $44,000. The problem, according to reports, was that the police officer who issued the ticket accidentally dated the violation to the year 208 AD as opposed to 2008. So the ticket included 1,800 years of interest. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The EU has spoken, and at least for now, Greece is back from the brink. But some of its citizens are still going to vote with their feet.
I know a lot of people, young adults such as myself, are actually going to colleges outside of Greece.
I'm Bob Moon. The Exodus, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.